Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, Alarmy, check out Alarmist on Patreon for ad-free episodes and bonus content. Here's a preview of our Guest Alarmist series, only on Patreon.
Like, what is that instinct that made you run to the bathroom?
Shame. Oh, 100%. I felt so ashamed. This is like, it was, she was like an older woman too.
Right.
And she had this,
like, you were disgracing her.
She was disgraced. Like, make no mistake. She, like, if she came in with grace, she was disgraced.
Yes.
Go to patreon.com/thealarmist and subscribe today. Now on to our episode.
I was born with a special gift. The ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst case scenario in my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame. They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am the Alarmist.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into The Alarmist, a comedy podcast where we talk about history's greatest tragedies and figure out who's to blame. Today we're discussing Super Bowl 38's halftime show controversy. Here's what you need to know. The Super Bowl halftime show is one of the most widely anticipated musical events of the year. Top-tier performers have around 12 to 15 minutes to make a lasting impression on an audience bigger than the Grammys. There's a tremendous amount of scrutiny put on every detail of these extravagant showcases. In 2004, all eyes were on Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson, who shocked the world, not with an incredible performance, but with one of the most memorable wardrobe malfunctions in televised history. Super Bowl 38 was held in Houston, Texas. It was a game between NFC champion, the Carolina Panthers, and AFC champion, the New England Patriots. Beyonce sang the national anthem, and Janet Jackson, P. Diddy, Nelly, and Kid Rock were all set to star in the halftime show, produced by MTV and sponsored by AOL Top Speed. It was typical for halftime shows to include surprise guest stars. And in fact, this year's halftime show began with an intro by Jessica Simpson screaming, "Houston, choose to party." Janet Jackson took over with a portion of her hit, "All For You," in which she dances with several shirtless men, foreshadowing things to come. P. Diddy took the stage next, donning a winter parka before revealing a Carolina Panthers jersey. Nelly followed shortly, singing "Hot in Here" in a skin-tight white tank top. Then it was Kid Rock's turn. Draped in an American flag with a hole cut in the middle for his head, he sang his flagship song, "Bow It to Ba." He then loses the flag and reveals a white tank top. Janet Jackson took over again, and within minutes, she was joined by surprise guest Justin Timberlake. Justin wore loose-fitting chinos and a green t-shirt underneath a black jacket. Janet wore an all-black leather full bodysuit. Justin and Janet danced together in a sexy cat-and-mouse style. And finally, when Justin sang the famous lyric, "Gonna have you naked by the end of this song," he grabbed part of Janet's wardrobe to the side of her torso and pulled. He removed her right bra cup, briefly revealing her breast, though she was wearing pasties. The moment happened right at the end of the performance, and the lights blacked out almost immediately after. But it was just the beginning of the backlash. Fun Facts, aka Death Stats. An estimated 143.6 million people tuned in for all or some of the broadcast. The Parents Television Council, PTC, an advocacy group dedicated to forcing advertisers, networks, and the FCC to keep, quote, "sleaze" out of family-friendly TV programming, was created only 9 years earlier. The FCC received 540,000 complaints about the incident, 65,000 of which came from a single organization, the Parents Television Council. Jackson's breast was only exposed for 9/16 of a second. Janet Jackson became the most Googled search term in history. It even made the Guinness Book of World Records in 2006. After the Super Bowl 38 halftime incident, all live transmissions have a few seconds delay in an effort to prevent something similar from happening, with the hope of editing any incidents. It was Timberlake's third Super Bowl halftime show, the most for any entertainer. Justin performed at the Super Bowl again in 2018, while Janet has never been invited back. With us today, we have producer Clayton Early.
Hello.
Fact checker Chris Smith.
Hi.
And our very special guest today is comedian Blair Postman. Hi, Blair.
Hello, Rebecca and team. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we are great. We're excited to have you on the show. I want to tell our listeners, you know, not only are you a comedian, you also co-host your podcast House Honeys, and you are touring your solo show Lady ADHD right now as we speak.
That's right. We're Lady ADHD is part stand-up, part TED Talk about the inside of my ADHD brain that was largely undiagnosed until my 40s and how I look back and see how it influenced my life and my opinions about the world and my stand-up comedy and what I learned and some things that I learned a little too late. through that journey.
It's better late than never.
That's right.
It's uplifting. And we're going to be touring colleges. We've got a few. We're going to be in Davidson. We're going to be at the College of William and Mary. We're going to be at a bunch of colleges this spring and some other private association meetings. But we're also going to be touring theaters. So you can just go to ADHDcomedy.com and find all that information.
That's so fun. I recommend our listeners do so. Now, We like to start off the show, Blair, by asking our guests, what is something that's recently alarming you? What's something that's keeping you up at night?
I am weirdly prepared for this because somebody I was asked this like a month ago, and I don't like to repeat, but I feel like it's gotten only more intense.
Okay.
We had two cats. After our older cats passed away, we have a cat brother and sister that we adopted about a year and a half ago, Sookie and Hank. And they are very high energy ninjas and adorable. And after our older orange boy passed away, for about a year, we kind of looked at other older orange cats. Wouldn't it be nice to adopt? Because they seem to get along very well with Jack, who had passed away. And so we wound up almost a year later adopting George, whose human mom was a very elderly lady who had passed away. And we're like, synergy, universe is speaking to us. We went and got George. George has lived heretofore, apparently with, you know, not a lot of disruptions in his life. And he then encountered Hank and Sookie, who are walking distractions. And, you know, they're sassy and giving him a lot of ajita, a lot of eggs in my tongue. So
a lot of kitty ADHD.
Sookie for sure. Like maybe I'll date. They're very neurodivergent in various ways.
Sure.
And so the thing I worry about keeps me up, and really I think about and say things out loud to my husband constantly is about how do we think Hank's doing? How do we think Hank's doing? We got new litter because his former mom was from an earlier time. They had declawed him. They're like, oh, cat litter problems. You know, you got to get a soft cat litter. You got to do this. Whoa. He's got to have how to ingratiate him, to the point where this Friday, so like 2 days ago, I had hired a cat therapist.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Came to the house. And I know what that makes me sound like. You don't think I know?
No, loving, devoting pet owner.
This is a safe space. This is a safe space. Non-judgmental space.
Just money to burn. Money to burn.
Well, it's important that we all get therapy, but that our pets also have therapy.
If you know? She would have let me, I would have hired her as my own therapist. That's apparently not something she's interested in.
I feel like this is a good setup. I feel like I have an avenue that I would go down. Rebecca, I'm curious to see what you choose to transition.
Oh, wow. I'm so lost right now.
All right, go, Clayton.
So there's no way it's going to match.
What's your segue, Clayton?
Well, go on. I think you should do it.
I was just going to say, I wish that someone had checked in on Janet's well-being after this wardrobe malfunction, because no one really seemed to care how she was doing after the fact.
Well, guess what? They did.
I have some details.
Right?
They tried. But it's more complicated than that.
Yes, it's more complicated than that.
That's right. In fact, we can jump right in. And let me see if I can get that part. Okay. So we could start off. I wasn't going to start off putting this up on the board.
Okay.
But since it has a little excerpt that it describes exactly what we're talking about, we'll go there. We should put the media up on the board.
Okay, let's do it.
The media. Ugh.
The media.
Get it up there.
Can we subcategorize the media?
Of course.
Do you mind if I do that?
Please.
Get it out. Yeah, let's do it.
So the media, yes. So it's right after. This happens 2004. It's two, 3 years after CBS has bought or merged with
Viacom.
MTV. Under Viacom.
Yeah.
They're under Viacom. And just sinister villain of the media extraordinaire, Les Moonves, very specifically is a big, fragile baby who then a few years later would be like chased out of the media for various sexual harassment and assaults. And he in particular had a special
involvement
about this.
Yeah.
So you want to put Les Moonves or you want to put the CBS Viacom merger?
We can pull it. All of it.
Okay.
Yeah. But MTV.
MTV.
I would say Shadow Bander. They banned her, but that was kind of Les Moonves.
Sure.
So
a lot going on.
This is from Women's Health. Afterward, Janet was understandably upset. Janet fled. We couldn't get her on the phone. We couldn't get her manager on the phone. She should have said no one knew and it was a mistake, she never said anything to us. Here we're trying to ask the person that this happened to because it happened to her and she was gone. And CBS chief Les Moonves demanded that both Janet and Justin apologize on the air. Justin did, but Janet refused. Quote, it felt like another request for something that was an accident, said Matt Serletek, the then CEO of Jackson's record label, Virgin Records. Something that didn't need to be laid completely on her, and so she didn't do it, and good for her.
And not only did he, because let's set the stage, the Grammys were going to be on a week later on CBS also. And CBS, technically the Recording Industry Association is in charge of that, I guess. In charge of that. It's their event, but CBS is basically paying their bills. So with this airing of this, of the Grammys, and he wanted them to go on air and say it on the Grammys, but also he had wanted them to come in person to his office and apologize to him, just him in person. And apparently JT did that because he had this new album. It was going to launch his whole solo career. And Janet was like, no, why did she not do it? Either way, it was either self-respect or trauma or a combination, or she knew that Les Moonves was a fuck. Excuse me, I don't know if we could swear on this guy.
Yeah.
Was a, we'll treat this like it is the Super Bowl, and I won't swear, but that Les Moonves was a really a known jerk and scumbag.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I feel like we dove right in. We just, we started right off the gate. We just we came in hot. I feel like let's take a moment to talk about the actual halftime show.
Okay.
I don't know if when the last time you guys watched it, it's been 20 years since it happened. If you take, you know, it's easily found on YouTube. It's 12 minutes. And the whole halftime show was not just Janet Jackson. So there were a lot of artists that were part of this halftime show. And
this was a time in which that was, they had only just gotten away from marching bands. I'm sorry. I have this comedy bit I've been doing called the History of Super Bowl Halftime Shows. And I know everything about the producer. So this is just about maybe a few years into them really doing anything anyone would want to see in modern day. But they had a lot of amalgamation halftime shows where it was not just one headliner like Lady Gaga.
Exactly. It started off with a tiny bit of a marching band. Then Janet kicked it off with All For You. Then there was P. Diddy, and then Nelly came in with that he sang Hot in Here, which there's a lot of like take off all your clothes. Right. You know, it's getting hot here. Let's take off. There's a lot of take your clothes off.
Setting the stage.
Yes.
Whether on purpose or not.
And you know, the dancers, the backup dancers for Nelly, like do take off their clothes and they have like a different outfit underneath. There's a lot of ripping off clothes. Then there's Kid Rock who just comes in a like a flag that's almost like he's wearing like a poncho. And then he rips that off and he's got this like tight white tank top underneath,
which was more offensive than anything.
Right. He didn't get any slack for ripping the American flag apart. Which
apparently he sort of did behind the scenes, but no, not by like,
no one's talking about it.
Also don't need to see him in a white tank top.
Right. That's the other issue. And then Janet comes back, right? So she's kind of bookending the show. And I just want to, I was really struck by like the song choices, right? You know, I forget what P. Diddy sang. He sang,
he did the More Money, More Problems.
Okay, yeah.
And then there was like a Hey Diddy, You're So Fine.
Hey
like,
Diddy, You're So Fine. Hey, yeah. But Janet, but then, you know, the men are just like, take off your clothes, right? And then Janet's singing like, it's all for you and the Rhythm Nation, you know? She's like trying to bring everyone together. And then like Justin comes in at the end and they do a duet to Rock Your Body. And it is an odd, it is
and
an
his
odd
song
performance
is about
from the
you
beginning.
Naked.
Yeah, just it, pretty much, I'm going to have you naked by the end of the song, right? So that's the big moment. And it is an odd performance. You're seeing these two artists, I don't know why it's so odd.
It's a weird pairing. They didn't seem to have like any crossover
relationship.
There's no
chemistry. And it just comes on so strong, you know?
If I may, they actually do have a past.
Oh, okay. Tell us.
So not a past in a negative way. Sorry, let me refer to my notes. she took NSYNC on tour for her, and I'm reading this. I don't like know all her tours by heart.
Sure.
She took NSYNC on tour with them. They were her opening act for the Velvet Rope tour, which was really big because that was after Rhythm Nation and Control and all of that. And so they wanted a surprise. That was sort of part of their little gimmicky stuff, that kind of 10 years around there. They would have like a surprise pop-in guest that nobody knew about beforhand.
Okay, as part of the halftime show.
And so they had a relationship, they had some kind of businessy relationship, had performed together, had been on tour together,
yes,
et cetera, et cetera. But so
to the viewer, it is, it's like, it's odd,
that. I didn't
right?
know it.
It's very odd.
I didn't know it.
He's also like dressed in this like baggy shirt. He looks like he came from like a business meeting, like a baggy business meeting. And she's wearing this.
Like a tech, like a 2000 yes. tech.
He looks to me that like he was like smoking a joint behind a 7-Eleven. Like he's got like baggy khaki pants on and like a regular ass Uniqlo shirt or something.
Right, right. He's meanwhile, you know, it's very Dawson's Creek. He's dressed like Dawson in Dawson's
good
Creek.
Good call.
Yeah.
I don't know.
She looks amazing.
She looks incredible. It's all leather.
Like a grown-up professional performer, yeah. Like world-famous performer, and he rolled off the bus.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. So here's my point. I feel like we should put having too many halftime show artists because I can't imagine how that makes all of these artists feel like they're vying for attention. There's this competitive nature of like who's going to be the most talked about
artist. Make the biggest impression.
And that really raises the stakes. And I wouldn't put it past the different teams to be like, we need to make the big splash at the end. We're going to make this a moment that we're going to talk about. Mm. And there was a plan.
Yeah.
Originally.
Wasn't this part of the controversy? There was like a last minute change. Like,
so originally they were going to rip her skirt off. She was kind of wearing it was like a full
like
body
a cat suit.
Right. Yeah, like a cat suit. And she was gonna have a skirt and they were gonna rip it. There was gonna be the
rip her skirt off like a classy show.
You know, all American.
You know, like Americans like.
So, but instead that when they practiced it, they decided that it didn't work. And I'm not sure if they came up with this new plan, you know, last minute, like while during the rehearsal, or, you know, if it was behind the scenes, whatever the case, they didn't rehearse this new idea.
How about overconfidence in your professional abilities? One of the things on the board.
Yes. Skipping the rehearsal.
Rehearsal.
Yes. Yeah. Skipping rehearsal. We talked about this during the Mariah Carey New Year's Eve singing debacle.
Okay.
Yes.
There's something to be said about rehearsing. It's so important. And can't
the best always do.
Exactly. And had they perhaps rehearsed it, maybe there would have been Who knows? Feelings like I don't know about that.
Does it look good?
One of the organizations I think who you could put on the board might be this group. Let me find them. You could say conservatives, moral majority, but very specifically, there was this Parents Television Council.
Yes,
that really consolidated people writing into the FCC. Mm. It was you know what? You could also maybe put on the internet because they said they had the first website that made it easy to fill out a form that would go to like the FCC chairman's inbox or what have you. Mm-hmm. And they really launched a campaign against this after the fact. Right. And they hated a lot about lots of things. they probably already didn't like half the people who were going to be on that halftime show. But they really consolidated the anger
toward
the minority.
Toward the Nipplegate. What
so Nipplegate.
What was called Nipplegate at the time.
So can we just go back? I think we maybe something we skipped that we could put up on the board is the sort of hypocrisy that's sort of baked into this, where on the one hand, you have a lot of songs about taking clothes off, but then when you actually literally do it, a woman under her own volition gets all of this negative backlash. Yeah. So do we want to call that naked hypocrisy?
Hypocrisy or the patriarchy.
Nipocracy.
Yeah.
Nipocracy. Like nipple, like nipocracy.
Yes, exactly.
Correct.
Yeah. How do I spell nipocracy?
And I can do it. The men in charge wanted to take her clothes off. They didn't want her to be involved in taking her own clothes off. Is a little bit of it there, it seems And I hate to throw this out there, and there are documentaries about this. I may have watched. but the one of the questions about, and I think it's at least worthy of putting on the board and ties into what you all were just discussing, is Justin Timberlake.
Oh, big time.
I mean, not necessarily that he, even if it was an accident, even if they agreed beforehand and what happened was an accident or something like that, even if he didn't have the malice aforethought, after the fact, he threw her under the bus big time, in my personal opinion.
Absolutely. Let's put Justin Timberlake. I want to read something here. It's from Business Insider. In a 2021 New York Times and FX documentary episode, Malfunction, The Dressing Down of Janet Jackson, the director of the Super Bowl halftime show, Beth McCarthy Miller, says that she had to radio her stage manager to ask what had happened once calls started coming in. She said, "I don't know, but I had a blanket for Janet to wrap her in. I put the blanket on her and she was crying." McCarthy Miller told producers in the documentary, "Other than this secondhand account, there's little known about anything Jackson said or did immediately following the incident, aside from leaving the stadium to fly back home." Timberlake, however, gave interviews after the halftime show. The Malfunction documentary features clips from his interviews with Access Hollywood, where he smiles and calls the evening, quote, fun, and says he, quote, loves giving y'all something to talk about. When asked about a steamy performance with Jackson, he said, quote, "I'm sorry if anyone was offended by the wardrobe malfunction during the halftime performance at the Super Bowl." Timberlake said in a statement to MTV News, "It was not intentional and is regrettable." Jackson did not immediately release an official statement, though her representatives told MTV that she apologizes for the incident. This is from The Things. Fans reasoned Janet decided to not discuss the matter, though it would get dragged up again in a documentary about Janet, because there was no way to win. If it was an accident, Justin pulling her top off should make Janet the victim. Instead, most of the media spun the event as if it was Janet's fault.
Mm-hmm. First of all, I highly recommend that documentary, and I watched it on FXX because it's concise, it's, you know, and it hits a lot of points.
Yeah,
but it is interesting. He knew he was going to rip something off.
Right.
It's just interesting that, forget Les Moonves for a second, having his personal thing against her, maybe because she didn't come kiss his ring or whatever. Mm-hmm. He knew he was going to rip it off something. He was involved on that level. She is the one who had it ripped off of her and therefore arguably may have had less control over how much came off and where. And the fact that he never, it's like he got almost no heat for this. He got heat for like an afternoon, and he absolutely was trying to play it off as cool and like edgy in that Access Hollywood clip that you're talking about. Yeah. Who knew Access Hollywood would have so much important footage for us as evidence of things over the years?
It feels like he just really didn't take care of his scene partner, for lack of a better. If you're on stage, and there's like a, if you're like a physical moment, like you walk through it and it feels like if something happens, it happens to both of you. And especially the fact that like it was her body that was like kind of on the display. Yeah. I just feel like if you, any good partner would be like, okay, so this big thing happened. There's a lot of fallout. People are talking about it. Before I just go on to be like, it was cool, and I'm glad there's something, I would be like, hey, partner, how are you? Are you okay? Right. Like, what's our like press release on this?
Let's talk. Let's get
together so we're on the same page and we're being respectful to each other because now we're in this together. It feels like he immediately split off.
Yes.
I mean, she bolted pretty fast, but yes, he certainly, he does not come off at least 20 years later as a good guy. I'll just put it that way.
Right. And I feel like we do need to discuss the, just in general, just racial and gender discrimination that is happening, that we're watching play out in real time during this event.
It's steeped in both.
Absolutely. This is from Vox. As Vox's Constance Grady recently wrote, America is unfairly harsh on women and ethnic people in a way that is typically not harsh on straight white men. America loves to police the bodies and the sexualities of women of color. So when Timberlake reminded us all that Janet Jackson, a black woman, not only had a body, but also had secondary sex characteristics, the media pounced on her. But Timberlake's controversial white male stand and the hand that actively disrobed Jackson went unremarked on and unpunished. This is from the LA Times. Timberlake said last February 2021 in a statement, "The industry is flawed. It sets men, especially white men, up for success. It's designed this way. As a man in a privileged position, I have to be vocal about this." Okay, I'm rolling my eyes, Timberlake. "Because of my ignorance, I didn't recognize it for all that it was while it was happening in my own life. But I do want to, but I do not want to ever benefit from others being pulled down again." Okay.
"Any more than I already have with Britney and Janet."
Yes, yeesh. Exactly. This is another excerpt from Vox. "Timberlake largely left Jackson out to dry in the immediate aftermath, offering up some laughing apologies and during his Grammy's acceptance speech, calling the incident unintentional and completely regrettable and apologizing if you guys were offended." That is my favorite kind of apology. "I'm sorry if you were offended."
"I'm sorry you're such a snowflake that you can't handle anything."
It's just like so not taking a not. That's the opposite of an apology. Okay.
Right.
"It wasn't until 3 years later that the singer really acknowledged that he got off lightly. In my honest opinion now, I could have handled it better." Okay, whatever. "I probably got 10% of the blame, and that says something about society. I think that America's harsher on women. I think that America is, you know, unfairly harsh on ethnic people." As he skyrockets to fame and doesn't
like,
care
as
about
he shoots by on his rocket ship made of
gold. "Oh, it's so unfair for you. I'm famous."
Something else I want to point out here, which is maybe call this a double standard, or maybe it's just like hashtag free the nipple, but like there were male nipples all over the stage.
Oh, don't get me started.
And not good ones.
Also, to me, it's just like, this is like America's like puritanical kind of like background where it's like, who, like if you watch this now, like the event 20 years later, like right now it could happen today. And I don't think anyone would even really care or know. It'd be like nothing.
For the record, that you didn't see a nipple because it was covered.
It's so
they said
nothing.
It's for 9/16ths of a second,
right?
The amount that I heard.
It just feels prudish and like who cares?
Oh,
it's a nipple.
The guy rewinding and rewinding over and over again to get to that 9/16th of the second that they could put on freeze frame to stare at. That seems creepy to me.
Well, or if like, the parents' television council is as offended, so offended by like a potential nipple being seen, they should be as offended by, and maybe they were, about like the lyrics of all of these songs. Like, or just like the general public, if people are so scandalized by this, like, listen to the songs that led up to this brief, really inconsequential moment. Like,
totally.
Big deal.
Well, I can only speak for myself, and I was highly traumatized by the experience.
How is that manifesting these days?
I still
Chris?
Have flashbacks, and like occasionally you'll just catch me like crying in the corner in the fetal position.
Thoughts
and I'll
and
just
prayers.
Yeah, because of being exposed to that.
Maybe we can call this fear of the nipple.
Okay.
I definitely have that.
Yeah.
I think it's fear of women having power and success.
Ooh.
She's still, because looked up, she still is way higher on the total album records sales charts than he is. Mm-hmm. And she hasn't been super in the game for the last 10. She had an album come out like 2 months after this, which to her and Virgin was a disappointment, but it still debuted at number 2. So like that's failure for Janet Jackson, is debuting at number 2. So there was a lot going on there because she was very empowered. She was this little sheltered, like probably traumatized by her dad, Joe Jackson, like was her manager. She broke away. That was a whole big storyline. She really embraced her sexuality as like a grown up person, not like this little kid you might have known.
Put out hit after hit for like a decade.
Hit after hit. Yeah. With and just money and power in the industry. And
that's scary to men. That's fear really scary nipple, to men.
Fear of powerful women, and maybe just the patriarchy on the board.
And by the way, a black powerful woman.
Yeah. Yes. This is, I feel like this is a good excerpt to read. This is from Mashable. Hashtag free the nipple campaigns and the Time's Up initiative. We can now look back at the clear misogyny and racism at play. The public vilified Jackson, pinning the supposed moral degradation of society on a single, briefly exposed nipple. And those who clamored to shame and blame her didn't once stop to ask, hang on, wasn't it Timberlake who actually physically ripped off the costume? And didn't Jackson look shocked and mortified about it before immediately running off stage? There's still a lot of mystery around what exactly happened, but you know what isn't a mystery? The reason why Timberlake's career continued to soar while Jackson's never came close to recovery. And she did suffer a lot of backlash after mm-hmm. this incident. Why are we so obsessed with female nipples being exposed? And there, no one ever questions a man's nipple when it's out in the open. I mean, like usually,
I mean, ask Instagram.
I mean, usually you know, there people have so much problem with like feeding, you know, a breastfeeding, right, you know, right. When where the nipple, the boob is actually doing its job, right? It's mm-hmm. it's that's the reason we have boobs, to feed babies, right?
We want you to have a baby, and then we don't want to see anything having to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Put it away.
It's just a double. I mean, it's like, to me, it's just a clear like double standard. It's like the men's like hypersexualization of women. You know, it's like you see male nipples all over the place, film and television, highly suggestively portrayed.
Right. It's such a double standard. I hope we have double standards up on the board.
I think we have it like in a few different ways.
Yeah.
Do we want to say that men are jealous because their nips are not functional and they're only ornamental?
Mm.
Men's nipple
male
jealousy?
Male fragility.
Male fragility.
Yeah, you can do male fragility.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Towards the nipple. Not? Yeah. They're just self-conscious about their useless nipples.
Useless nips. I think useless nips can be blamed for a lot of things, I think, in history.
Uh-huh.
You know, just men sort of being jealous that they have these things that are really just, they might as well be like Sharpie markered on them. They're totally useless.
You hide it so it makes it more taboo, right? Like we don't show that. So, although you should, like they show, I feel like breasts are the first thing to be seen in any kind of like R-rated movie, you know, like we're happy showing them there.
Right.
Because it's also like length of time and context of boobage. Like, you can't.
A lot of rules.
There are a lot of rules. Like, if
what
you think
is
back.
Arbitrary rules. Who made these?
Yeah, but like, think about like teen movies from the 80s. Like, you have to have like a short, brief period of boobs, and uh-huh. they have to be in very particular context. They can't be sort of indiscriminate about it. So you're right, Clayton. There is some kind of like context dependent appropriateness.
Well, it was like, you know, back in the day when we were growing up, like you would never see a penis because that was considered like really, like that's just really disrespectful.
We don't go there.
But you would see ton of breasts. Mm-hmm. You always saw breasts, like, and a lot of highly sexual women in films, right? Like unrealistic, mm-hmm. like ridiculous. But it's so inappropriate to see a boob in this context, even though we've made it abundantly clear that everywhere else it's like totally fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. It's
like, just kinda, we love boobs. Look at our cheerleaders.
Right. But
boobs on our terms.
Put a sweater on
it's
it.
Like boobs on our terms versus like, right. Well, if you're gonna have a boob, you're gonna have a boob all the time. Like you can't just decide now it's inappropriate.
I love that. Boobs
true. That's totally true.
Boobs on their terms. I love that.
It's like boobs are full time. I mean, if they're on you, they're full time boobs.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Talk to full-time any woman. They'll tell you. Woman. They're full time.
Not a moment of rest.
Yeah.
They're working hard.
They are.
And you have to learn this like litany of rules and regulations. It's just an overregulated industry, the boob industry.
Yeah. But I want to make sure that the FCC is up on the board, Clayton.
And FCC.
Michael Powell was the chairman then. That was Colin Powell's son. Mm.
Yes. Let's make sure to put them up on the board. And unfortunately, we're running out of time. I mean, I do feel like we have covered most of it. I mean, I'm not putting Janet Jackson up on the board. We could potentially put her team up on the board for the bad advice, but I don't know. Okay. What we've got is good. Let's take a quick break. We'll start knocking things off the board.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Okay. Who's to blame for the Super Bowl 38 halftime show disaster? Is it the media, Les Moonves, MTV, CBS and Viacom, too many halftime show artists, overconfidence in your professional abilities, skipping rehearsal, no subtlety, over-sexualized music / lyrics, parents' television council, no internet, hypocrisy, Justin Timberlake, racial discrimination, gender bias, fear of the nipple, fear of powerful black women, the patriarchy, NFL, double standards, male fragility, boobs on their own terms, confusing nudity and censorship rules, or the FCC. Wow, that's a hell of a board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know we've said this before, but this is probably our longest board.
It's a big one.
This is, you know, they could, there's some subcategories, I think.
Yes, we can probably fold some things fold in for them. Sure.
Yeah. And why don't we start off doing that? I feel like the media, we could put MTV, CBS,
yeah,
less movies
all into the media.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Okay. Well, MTV was the producer of the halftime show. Yeah.
And
so
it
I
was
think
on
that,
CBS, wasn't it?
It was on CBS.
Yeah, so,
but MTV
but
was
they
the,
were both owned by Viacom, which Les
right.
Moonves,
right. Mm.
But, Chris, but are you trying to make a case for MTV to be separate though because they were
well,
producing?
They're under their purview to me, would go like rehearsal, skipping rehearsal, the choice to do the lyrics, you know, all that stuff is part of the producer's responsibility. So that would be my contention there.
May I argue the other side of that?
Okay, yeah.
They banned her from MTV when that was a kiss of death and people still cared about the MTV Music Awards and stuff. And that was very much, I believe, because of Les Moonves, CBS, and Viacom ownership. So I see what you're saying, but I just want to remind that it wasn't just that the producing, the issues with their production of the show, it's that they then banned her from their airwaves.
Afterward, yeah.
After,
I feel like that
sure.
really, yeah. That and that contributed to just her really, her career really taking a huge hit.
I mean,
aftermath.
Who says they have to be good at, you know, being jerks only in one way? Like,
right.
Maybe it's-
no, that would, yeah, that would strengthen the case for blaming them, right?
Right, yeah.
Mm.
Well, sure. I guess then we just call it MTV, CBS, Viacom, Les Moonves. Then we flip it. We take the media off and we just be,
sure.
we can be specific that. About the four. Yeah. Now let's fold other things into each other. Overconfidence in your professional abilities.
I think that, though, I meant that the same way as whoever said not rehearsing. That's
oh, yeah.
I-
yeah.
Okay. So we'll fold that into skipping rehearsal.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And no subtlety. That could be folded into over-sexualized music lyrics.
Sure. Sure. Absolutely. I feel like the Parents Television Council is kind of like a after-the-fact kind of thing. Like, they really had nothing to do with the events
well,
that went down.
Are we asking who's responsible for the physical ripping of the thing that showed a nipple? Or are we asking who's responsible for it becoming such a big darn deal that and ruining Janet Jackson's career?
Good question.
My instinct is to blame why it became such a big deal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the backlash. Or,
yeah, I
right,
think so.
The fallout, sure.
Because we could say, you know, we kind of know who did it, right? Like Justin Timberlake ripped it off.
Sure. That's like the very like sterile, like.
And Janet may have been involved in the
sure.
planning of something,
right.
not what happened, but of some.
Of course.
Right.
She was part
right.
of the conversation. It wasn't news to her.
Yeah. Whether the producers knew about it or who came up with the idea, it's a mystery. So to me, it's more interesting to talk about like, why was the backlash?
Why
so
is it
huge?
Such a big deal?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, why do we care so much about this nipple?
Right.
I would agree.
Okay.
Well then keep the parents up there. Although I would say, yeah. I would argue that like the internet had a lot more and just like the size
yes.
of like the NFL sports audience had more to do with the backlash than the council. I mean, yes, they were like organized and sent in these like complaints, but that was coming in outside of that as well.
And I would say the FCC and the Parents Television Council, those are go hand in hand.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
They, I don't think they were going to get as involved in fining as they,
so
to me, those are
I
part
agree.
Of the same. Yeah.
So let's put, let's call it the FCC and the PTC. Now, and the internet, yes, I think there, you know, some say that YouTube really came about because of this incident, because people were searching for a way to watch it online after the fact. Jesus. And that's where they could find it.
I know. I love how everyone's so disgusted and everyone's like flocking to the internet to watch
it. Yeah. Oh, I would. I'm so upset that I saw a nipple.
Why am I
saying
that?
Like, Google, let me remind myself. I feel like we could fold fear of the nipple into nipocrisy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I like that.
And patriarchy.
And patriarchy.
Into hypocrisy or
hypocrisy, right? Okay.
Yeah, I think it's more specific.
I also feel like boobs on their terms. I do like that. That really encapsulates the patriarchy for me.
That also kind of comes. But I could say you could fold that into hypocrisy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Let's
it's
do
just
that.
Like, because it's all about. Or I mean, unless you want to put hypocrisy into boobs on their terms, but it's
no. I like that. And confusing nudity and censorship rules can also fold in.
Do you
in.
Prefer something that's like the broadest thing? It seems like we're preferring something that's the most narrow thing. Like, so patriarchy, yes, but you want to narrow it down.
I think so.
To get specific about this particular
act of.
Yeah, patriarchy. Right. Yeah, because patriarchy is
this
everywhere.
Flavor.
This
flavor of patriarchy. Yeah.
I feel like
pistachio flavor.
Yeah. Double standards fits into that as well, right?
And yes.
Maybe even male fragility, or is that separate?
Well,
no. I think that's
I think so too. You know, it's like we live in a world in a patriarchal society, and I feel like we don't even realize how it all manifests into these different incidents. So I feel like
when it comes to hypocrisy and like gender bias.
I feel like that folds into hypocrisy too, right?
Yeah, I think so too. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that I have a question about is like, I think the fear of powerful Black women is not exactly just patriarchy, right?
No, because it's different.
They're getting it much worse. Like if she had been, if that had been, I don't know, Jessica Simpson or
right.
somebody, it might not have been such a backlash or,
yeah, the racial element is much. Yeah.
That might not have been as. Yeah. So it's that. It's, I think that's a little bit of it's kind of.
It is
thing
a separate beyond. Thing, right? Yeah. I mean, it is. And that's where it's like it's the gender discrimination and it's also the racism in our
that
country.
Could be a contender for like a big slap kind of situation, you know, where it's like you've got the gender, right. The like nipple, you know, hypocrisy.
Come.
Itself, but then you have
come for the sexism.
Yeah.
Yes.
Come for the sexism, stay for the racism.
Right.
That's the NFL Super Bowl halftime show in 2004.
Right.
Now, okay. We've still got a lot here. And Les Moonves, MTV, they all become one, I think.
That's all one. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Too many halftime show artists. I feel like it did, you know, raise the stakes for them to have to do something bold, but I don't think we can actually blame that. Because as you were saying, there had been other Super Bowl halftime shows with multiple artists, and none of them had a controversy like this.
Not like this.
No.
Some of them were just terrible.
Justin Timberlake.
I don't think it's his fault. And I don't know if he's like a big slap, but he could get like a back count because it does feel like he was like exceptionally.
He didn't help.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Okay, we have to get serious here. I think, unfortunately, we can take out skipping a rehearsal and over-sexualized music lyrics. I do think we can take the internet off. And I feel like we can fold fear of powerful Black women into racism, which is a big contender for the slap.
Yeah.
So then that leaves us. Oh, and while I do agree that the NFL had something to do with this, I wonder if.
They didn't help, but they weren't in the top three or four.
Yeah.
Things wrong with it. Yeah.
They also didn't make the backlash worse. I feel like there were other contenders who had a bigger hand.
I think it was what they did was very behind the scenes,
right?
Like pushing less movies to get a head on a platter kind of thing.
Okay, mm-hmm.
They were telling him how unhappy they were, et cetera.
Okay, so then that leaves us with, you know, the producers or the media
Les
that was behind, Les and Co, hypocrisy, Justin Timberlake. Racial discrimination and the FCC and the PTC.
Did we lose all the gender bias, etc., patriarchy, or is that
I feel like that all in folded hypocrisy. Into hypocrisy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's all in hypocrisy. I got you. Yeah. Okay.
So here's what I'm thinking. I think we do send hypocrisy to the alarmist jail. We slap racism and we backhand Justin Timberlake. Yep. And unfortunately, though, in this particular, I don't know how I feel about that now because Les and Co. are going to get away with it.
Yeah.
You need to, do you guys ever just give them an alarmist punch in the face instead of just a slap?
We've never done that.
Well, I think he was a renowned jerk. So I think at least a punch in the face.
Well, he's epitome of hypocrisy, right? I mean, he is a huge hypocrite.
Yes, he is. Yes. So it's hard to tease that apart. Right. You know, from one another. And the same with the FCC and the PTC. They are the instruments of
hypocrisy.
Yeah. Hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm. So then do we feel good about that layout?
I feel good about it. I do. I do feel like hypocrisy is an all powerful and there's a lot jammed in there. So it's
okay. Okay. Good. All right. Then I'm going to call it racism. You're getting the big slap. Watch out, Justin Timberlake. Here comes a backhand. Hypocrisy? You're going to the alarmist jail. And there you go.
We did it.
Who knew that hypocrisy was a thing, number one? And who knew that we would get it in the alarmist jail?
Great word. Great phrase. Stealing it. I'll credit y'all.
Blair, thank you so much. I mean, we couldn't have done this so without fun. You.
I loved, it must be very satisfying to have a podcast where every week you are solving an enormous problem in like an hour. That is just.
That's all it takes.
If people would just get together and spitball.
It's as good as it feels as good as it sounds. Yes. So great.
Super fun anytime. I loved it. It was wonderful.
Thank you, Blair. In the aftermath, Janet Jackson released an album later that year titled Demita Jo, and while it was critically acclaimed, it did not see the commercial success of her previous records. She has never performed in another Super Bowl halftime show. Justin Timberlake, on the other hand, was the headline performer in Super Bowl 52. The Alarmist is now on Patreon. Subscribe and get ad-free content along with bonus episodes. Go to patreon.com/thealarmist or check out the link in our show description. Visit our website, www.thealarmistpodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram, @thealarmistpodcast, and on Twitter, @alarmistthe. You can also send us your thoughts via email to thealarmistpodcast@gmail.com. Today's episode was produced and engineered by Clayton Early, with editing by Molly Hockey, and fact-checking by Chris Smith. Thank you to our associate producer and researcher, Crystal Dinsberg. The Alarmist is executive produced by Rebecca Delgado Smith. Tune in next week. We'll be discussing the Spanish flu. The Alarmist.
Powered by Acast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time.
That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.